This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking to Garrett Fox. What's your wrestling name, sir?
I believe we decided to go with the Funky Fox.
The Funky Fox. That is you. That is your name. You're sticking with it. You'll live with it.
Yeah, we'll go with it. Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yep. And this is the Freedom Fiends. It's a talk radio musical extravaganza. Let me do a little something right here. I'm gonna do some live radio tune ups here. So the board op, I'm gonna turn down what I'm sending to the studio, and the board op's gonna have to turn us up about 10%. Here we go. All right, talk, Garrett. Talk.
Okay, I'm talking right into the mic so that the board op can hear us and we can sound
all right.
Painful out there.
Yeah, nice and painful out there. Is that what you said? That's what
we're doing. Beautiful. I said beautiful.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Mr. Bordop, you can please adjust from that. I just realized that, you know, we did the sound check at one volume. We're like, yes, hi, testing. And then I hear that music. I know we're on radio stations, 24 radio stations nationwide. And all of a sudden I'm like, hi, I'm Michael D from the Freedom Fiends, the Iron Hamster. I get really excited. You know, it's kind of how when you sound check with a band, people don't know this. When you sound check with a band, you know, you get there around dinner time. You set up on the stage in the club or the hall. You play, you know, you hit the drums, or you hit the tom-tom, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Hit the bass drum, thud-thud-thud-thud. Hit the snare, crack-crack-crack-crack-crack. Hit the cymbals. Okay, guitar player. All right, that's enough. Okay, bass player. Boom-boom-boom-boom-boom-boom-boom-boom-boom. All right, that's good. Okay, singer. Well, no, it's the singer's like hung over and just stumbling out of the van. The singer's like, la, 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 I am the lizard king. I eat lizard people for breakfast. Okay, that's enough. First of all, then you get there, like, you know, you go have lunch, you go grab a nap with some lady you just met, you know, you go, put some Clorox up your nose or whatever the kids are doing these days. I don't know. I think there's something called feels. I think there's a drug called feels. I think Congress needs to rush back to session to outlaw feels. I heard that's a dangerous thing. I don't know what that is, but you know, the kids do all this stuff. The bands do this stuff. And then they come back. There's two differences. One, the band is awake now, and they're all turning up to 11, including the singer. And conversely, the room is full, hopefully, and people's bodies soak up sound. So it's different. You know, actually, in some like very mission critical concert situations, like recording classical music in a hall, they'll actually go out and put like soft dummies in a bunch of the chairs to soak up some of the sound to get it right.
Oh, that's dedication, eh?
Yeah, man.
You make it all sound so glorious too.
Yeah. So that's the beautiful end of music. Now on the other end of the spectrum, because we are bathetic, not pathetic, we're bathetic. We enjoy art of all genres and all mediums, everything from classical music to Queen to, you know, rock and roll to literature to hand-blown snow globes. We enjoy things that have a sweeping pass from the elevated to the gutter. So we're going to talk about G.G. Allin.
I had a feeling you were leading into that.
Yep. We were going to talk about Bitcoin and the government and how the government's stealing Bitcoin and blah, blah, woof, woof, and what everyone else is talking about. You know, there's probably some other people talking about Bitcoin today on nationally syndicated radio. I guarantee nobody is talking about G.G. Allin on nationally syndicated radio.
I seriously doubt it.
I could see Sean Hannity discovering or any of those guys, like, you know, the old rock stars of conservative talk radio. I could see any of them discovering that video I sent you of G.G. Allin on Springer from back in the day. And like, you know, like if it went around in an email, like it's going to as soon as this show's over, because I'm going to do it and put it in the show notes. I mean, it's like immediately reacting and saying like, we must outlaw this person, and not realizing like he killed himself like 12 years ago or something, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it looks like 93. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing, man. He was born and raised in Lancaster, New Hampshire. You know what else happens in Lancaster, New Hampshire?
What else happens up there in Lancaster, New Hampshire?
The Freedom Fiends' first annual company picnic, beef fest, and corporate team building extravaganza, also known as Pork Fest.
Yeah, that name has changed already since last night.
Well, one certain corner of it on a certain day is going to have a roped off with police tape or a velvet rope, a private function that no one's going to be able to attend unless they are a Freedom Fiends co-host, the Freedom Fiends torrent master, or a spouse or child of the above.
And they must have a wrestling name.
And they must have, yeah. And the spouses will get their wrestling names there. I will meet them. I will sit in my throne, and everyone can sit. We don't have enough chairs, so you're going to have to bring chairs. I'm only speaking to like 18 people here. This is not for the general public. This is for the Freedom Fiends' first annual company picnic, beef fest, and corporate team-building extravaganza. Don't try to crash it. There will be armed children there acting as guards.
We'll set up some barriers so people can watch from a distance.
Yes, yeah. There's you know, I had a rule of one guest per host. One guy is bringing his two daughters, and I almost said, you know, there's a hard rule of one guest per host. You're gonna have to figure out which child you love the most and have the other one sit just outside the barricades and just be able to smell it and watch us eat. But I didn't say that because I am a gracious and benevolent taskmaster. And also a couple other people aren't bringing guests. So I said one guy could have two.
Oh, there you go. Well, that was decent of you, Michael.
Mm-hmm. So GG Allen.
Yeah, too bad he can't come to the extravaganza.
The extravaganza starts the Freedom Fiends' first annual company picnic, beef fest, and corporate team building extravaganza starts a week from today. Also known as Pork Fest, starts today.
Yeah. It's coming up soon. Yeah, Sunday.
When are you getting there?
I'm getting there Wednesday. Okay. Probably real early Wednesday morning.
Yeah, today's Saturday. It's just I know a few people that are going to be there already a week from today. I think Ben Stone's already there. I think he showed up 4 months ago.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because he sold his house. He and his wife sold his house, and they're driving around the country in a van solving mysteries for the rest of their lives.
Yep. And it's always the old guy at the beginning of the episode that you would suspect.
I would have succeeded if it weren't for you gosh darn kids, meddling kids. That's Ben. That's what Ben says.
Yeah. It was Ben the whole time.
The pirate ghost was Ben in a flashlight and a comb and a tissue paper going. What does this have to do with Liberty?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But,
you know, everybody who goes on radio just talks about liberty and freedom and tyranny all the time and solutions, whatever. I don't care, man. Here's our stance. Government's immoral. The police want to beat you up and kill you, most of them. They certainly want to arrest you. That's their job. I want to read something from Police One at one point where cops are talking about, it's just horrible. Like, well, if you can't kill anybody, you got to rethink being a cop. And like, that makes sense.
Oh, wow.
That would make sense in a libertarian paradise also. But it's like, there's some stuff after that about how gleeful they are about that, you know?
And they also said, one way, isn't it?
Yeah, and they also said, if you can't kill anybody, don't be a cop, quit, and go join the Marines. So it's cops saying that, like, they're more lethal than Marines. And making fun of Marines because they can.
That's insane. I wouldn't want to mess with any Marines.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, man. I wouldn't either. Maybe Adam Kokesh. I'd mess with him. I'd go, neener, 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 and poke him in the tummy and run away and have him chase me
Then he catches you and just bench presses you.
He's like, I could kill you, Michael, but I will just bench press your puny fat body. Yeah. I like that guy. Yeah.
So this GG Allen guy, it was kind of a blast from the past watching that YouTube video of Jerry Springer back when he was young.
Yeah, like from and like how TV used to look. Like it was obviously like taken from a VHS tape, like shot off the TV like 20 years ago.
That was horrible.
You know, speaking of old technology, I love Mark Edge, and I'm going to bench press him at Pork Fest with love. But he said something the other day that really showed his age. He was talking about ethical use of force, and he and Mark were talking about it. And you know, everyone's talking about that. We're not going to talk about it. I don't want to go on record is what I believe, because if my thought dreams could be seen, I'd probably put my head in a, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine, as Bob Dylan would say. No, man, I'm a peace loving guy with a pink pistol that I carry on my hip.
So what did he say?
He said, yeah, I don't think you should be able to shoot somebody for stealing property. And that's not what he said that made him sound old. He said, I mean, you know, you don't shoot somebody for stealing your color TV. And I was like, wait, color TV? All TVs are color now, Grandpa. The color TV. The immigrants are going to come in and steal my color TV so I can't watch my stories.
What's with all these wires?
Yeah, my dad still has a tube, a cathode ray tube TV. That I've offered to get him a new TV, but he's like, I don't know how to hook it up. I'm like, I could send someone over to do it, Dad. And he's like, no, I don't watch it that much. Because when the FCC went to all digital, like over the air, like he doesn't have cable. He has over the air digital, which in his area puts him back to like the three channels we had when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like they gave free set-top boxes to old people.
Right. Yeah. 'Cause since you guys want to hold on to this old technology, we have to plug this thing in to make it work.
Yeah. And if I'm calling someone old people, I'm 50, so he must really be. I love him. I respect him. He grew up in the Great Depression. And you know, he thinks we can get the right men in there and fix the Constitution and go back to the Republic. But you know what? He hates Obama and he likes guns. So, and he's my dad. I love him. And I'm not going to teach him. Well, I've tried to change him, but nah.
You gonna call him tomorrow?
Yeah, let's call him today. Why don't we get him? Okay, after this, during the break, let's call my dad and get him on the air for Father's Day early.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say because tomorrow's Father's Day, right?
Yeah, let's do it today though. He might be out, you know, at church or something tomorrow during the show.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. Worms. We'll talk about G.G. Allen later.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean, Michael Dean, Michael Dean, Michael Dean, Michael Dean, Michael Dean, Michael Dean. Yeah, we can't play any G.G. Allen on the air. My dad said, don't play any G.G. Allen and don't talk about G.G. Allen. No, he didn't. We got his voicemail. So
that's a shame. Well, you'll have to try again tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So G.G. Allen was born and raised and homeschooled. And this is nothing against homeschooling. He was homeschooled by a violent, horrible father. But he was homeschooled, as he puts it, in the woods of New Hampshire, which it turns out is Lancaster, which is the home of Porkfest, also known as the Freedom Fiends First Annual Company Picnic, Beef Fest, and Corporate Team Building Extravaganza.
Yes, and you can't come.
And you can't come. You can come to Porkfest, though. You're going to have to buy tickets at the door. All the pre-tickets are gone, but there will be some tickets at the door, at the gate. You can get a Porkfest .com, PORCFEST.com for more info. And it starts a week from tomorrow and it goes for a week. And it is a liberty loving festival with a bunch of, peaceful hippies in the woods who happen to have guns on their hips.
And if you're curious about what you might be interested in doing, make sure you check out the schedule, because there's there's like 1,000 things going on.
No, there's you exaggerate. There's only like 380 events. Come on, man. Yeah,
okay. All right. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but there's quite a few things. And if you need to justify, you know, tapping into the wallet for that, that's one way to do it, because there's so many things going on.
All the things are, most of the things are free once you're in. There's a few things that, you know, like food prep classes and, you know, things like, you know, building organic hippie, you know, yogurt and, you know, building AR-15 platform rifles, you know, things like that. That may cost a little money for materials. I don't know if those two do. And there's, you know, I think the beekeeping thing might cost, you know, a bit nickel. I don't know. I don't know how much things cost, but my stuff is free. I am showing the movie DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist,
yes.
Which, on Tuesday night and Thursday night, I'm showing Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And I'm giving a talk, a Q&A talk after both of them. I'm also, I've been added on Ben Stone's event. Yeah, he's doing a thing on the story, on storytelling. And I don't know if I've done, I don't know if I've done proper storytelling in this episode, but I will, I will help him. The Role of the Storyteller at 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Man, I have a busy Tuesday and Thursday. All right, so, oh, and then Thursday is also the Let's Talk Abortion, which is a debate that I invented that is between pro and anti-abortion libertarians. And that was announced on Facebook, and there was so much people screaming at each other that somebody said, oh, come on, guys, let's save this for Porkfest when everyone will be drunk and armed. And then they deleted the thread on it.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, I guess that that doesn't sound as much fun. You know, you reminded me something about, with this.
I got to say one thing, though. The DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist movie features Lydia Lunch and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Mike Watt from The Minutemen and, let's see, a couple dead people. The guitar player from The Stooges, he was alive at the time, and the singer from Gwar. But it also features a photographer who played guitar in Gigi Allen's band.
Yeah. I really wish I was going to be there for this, too. I'll be there for the D, no, not the DIY or Die, but when on Thursday, I'll be there for that one.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And I can ask you all the questions about it.
You're going to be the only guy there.
No, I guarantee you people are going to show up.
Yeah. Richard Kern is the filmmaker that's in DIY or Die that played guitar sometimes in Gigi Allen's band. So what is your question, and then, or what did it remind you of? And then we'll go on to Gigi Allen on All Tangents All the Time Radio.
Well, mainly just how you've been talking about the storytelling. What is it, the three parts?
The hero's journey.
Right, right. Have you ever seen the correlation between that and like what magicians do?
No, but I immediately can see it as soon as you say it. Yeah, a magic show generally has a three-act format probably. And probably like each trick probably has a three-act format.
Exactly.
Illusion, I'm sorry.
It's the pledge, then the turn, and then the prestige. It's pretty interesting. I don't know. You should check out that movie, The Prestige.
Yep. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I was just watching that movie a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, I was like, Michael would be interested in this. This has got the whole, you know, third act, redemption in the third act thing going on.
Yeah. Whereas a lot of, like, you know, tricks as opposed to illusions have like a setup and a knockdown, you know, a setup and a joke and a punchline kind of thing, which is only two acts, which doesn't have the character development of the red herring and the misdirect and the ooh, let's get someone from the audience who I've never met before. So have I ever met you before, ma'am? No, we've never met, have we? We're just married. All right.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Freedom Fiends. The Freedom Fiends. Gently rattling your cage since 2011. My wife, I stepped away during the break and my wife said, Freedom Fiends, alienating co-hosts since 11 a.m.
I don't feel alienated.
Yeah, good. She's wearing her kitty cat pajamas she just bought at Walmart. And speaking of Walmart, it's really not about Walmart, but I was telling you during the break about G.G. Allin. His band was called the Murder Junkies. And his record was called, can I say this on air? Freaks, Faggots, Drunks, and Junkies. What did you say about that?
Yeah, I guess that album was definitely not sold at Walmart or Target.
No, I don't think any of his records ever were. It's kind of weird.
Yeah,
go ahead. Over.
I was just going to say, I don't remember listening to this guy growing up, luckily, but I mean, I was horrified reading into this guy last night.
Oh, I knew people that I knew. I knew two people that played in his band. I mean, not like all the time. I mean, he went through band members. He had hundreds of band members probably because
Die?
No, they didn't die. A lot of people, you know, people don't want to be in a band with somebody whose stage act largely consists of slicing himself, defecating, rubbing it all over his body, rubbing blood on his body, and assaulting the audience physically and sexually. It's just not sustainable, man.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. No, I'm surprised anybody came out to his show.
Yeah, and if you want to hear a real old school conspiracy theory that does not involve the government, there's a documentary about him that's released on Music Video Distributors, who also released Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and DIY or Die. It's directed by Todd Phillips, and it was when Todd Phillips was in film school. This was his thesis. He made a feature-length documentary about G.G. Allin. And other movies by Todd Phillips include Road Trip, Old School, Starsky and Hutch, The Hangover, Due Date, and The Hangover Part 2 and Part 3. So he his ticket to Hollywood was making a documentary about G.G. Allin.
Oh, interesting. I have to look that one up too. And even though I don't know if I could sit through it.
GG, it is like watching a train wreck, man. The guy's amazing. He's I don't think he's I'm not saying he's a role model. But it's, you know, neither are professional wrestlers, and you watch them anyway. He kind of had some of that in him. You should watch the interview on Jerry Springer with him, which is in its entirety on YouTube. It's pretty amazing. But there's a rumor. G.G. Allin had been saying for years he was going to kill himself on stage, and he finally just and he kept postponing the date. He was kind of like those cults that say the Lord is coming back today, we will all go up on the hill. Sure. He kept postponing the date because life was good. You know, he was getting more popular and more crazy people were following him and paying attention to him. And then he finally just died of a heroin overdose that they don't know if it was intentional or accidental. Kind of antithetical.
Yeah, that definitely sounds weird. What was I just about to ask you? Oh, do you think this guy, like, was he just so much of a genius that he was doing the whole shock rock thing? Like,
I don't know, man. He, it's kind of hard to say because it's one of those things of like, you know, you start out kind of being the stage persona and you get so much attention for it that it becomes you. Let's see. Alan, and it's spelled Alan, A-L-L-I-N, G-G, the initials, G period, G period, A-L-L-I-N, if you want to search it. Alan was an extreme individualist and anti-authoritarian, promoting lawlessness and violence against police officers in many of his lyrics. His essay, The G.G. Allen Manifesto, was intended to summarize his personal philosophy. He revealed on Geraldo, that he believed his body to be a temple of rock and roll, and his flesh, blood, and bodily fluids were a communion to the people. Another reason given for his onstage antics was that he wanted to draw a parallel between his actions and a society that's gone crazy with violence. He also said that if he's not a performer, he probably would have been a serial killer or mass murderer. And yeah, he's from Lancaster, New Hampshire. That's nothing about Lancaster, New Hampshire. It's a peaceful place. It's a mellow place. And he left. I mean, you know, he didn't stick around and say, this, I have found my home. He was like, I got to get out of here. This is, I'm in the woods. I got to go be in the city with the concrete and the whores and the junkies and the dogs and the murder, but, and the drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think he would have liked Porkfest, and I don't think Porkfest would have liked him.
No, I guess not. You know what? He probably should have taken more naps.
Naps. Yeah, man. Naps. So the conspiracy theory that has nothing to do with the government is there is an existing conspiracy theory that Todd Phillips killed G.G. Allen when he finished filming the documentary and before it came out to help sell his documentary.
Well, that's one heck of a conspiracy. I'd hate to think anybody would be that malicious.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I mean, G.G. Allen was not only threatening to kill himself, but like gleefully announcing it for a long time. The thing is, you really should go watch, and I will link in the show notes, this appearance on Jerry Springer, back when Jerry Springer was thin and good looking and less confrontational in a way. He was kind of fair and balanced, Springer was back then. Like, he would ask, you know, he would make a good argument for both sides. But this is a really great show because they have, you know, a teenage girl that's dating G.G. Allen next to him on stage, and then her father next to her, and then her older sister who's really, really normal next to her. And then they bring out the lawyer who's representing the family of some kids who killed themselves while listening to Judas Priest, which was, that was a pending case at the time, but that guy lost. They were like, you can't blame this on rock and roll. You're silly. But it's a real, I mean, there's a lot of people in the audience who are like, this is because we didn't outlaw Elvis, and every generation gets more and more worse and has things that shock the former generation, and it's finally hit the wall. This is the end of civilization. Rock and roll, the murder, the crimes, the rapes, the cuss words, you know?
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing. Did it ever get to a point where chairs were being thrown?
No, I watched a half hour of it last night, but I've watched the whole hour of it before. I don't think it does. And, you know, you can kind of see through like the drug haze and the alcohol haze and the I am the antithesis of all that is good. Worship me, like attitude and mental fog that G.G. Allen has. You can tell underneath that he's a smart guy. And I think that he intentionally didn't go full on Springer and throw things because he wanted to look smarter than the people that were yelling at him.
Yeah, that makes sense. So maybe there was quite a bit of shock rock stuff going on there too.
Yeah. And there's like people in the audience like, you're not rock and roll. You don't embody true rock and roll. Bon Jovi is true rock and roll, man.
Yeah. Now, so, I mean, there's other bands like Gwar and stuff. They were into all the blood and nastiness up on stage too, but I guess they were using fake blood though,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah, and they were I don't think they were inspired by each other. They probably played together at some point. I know I opened for Gwar a couple times in my band Bomb. You know,
that's so awesome.
I know this well. Here's even more awesome. My band opened for Gwar when they were on their first tour in North Carolina. And there were more people on stage in the band when Gwar was playing than there were in the audience.
Nice. But they had like 12 people running around up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you didn't count the people who worked at the bar, there were more people on stage than there were off stage at that show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, that was circa what?
87.
Okay.
And even so, Nazi skinheads like showed up and threatened to beat Gwar up.
Why would they do that?
Because they thought they were decadent and they were like, you know, that weird kind of like conservative brand of skinheads. Like, we must, you know, get back to the white founders. I don't know. I don't know what it was, man. It was like, yeah, but that was what they did. They called Gwar decadent.
Wow. God, coming, man, from some Nazis. That's oh, man. Yeah, see, I'm kind of glad I missed this whole phase. I wasn't getting into music until 93, 94, so.
I had many chances to see G.G. Allin and didn't. He played three or four times at a club called the CW Saloon, which stood for the Country and Western Saloon in San Francisco on 4th and on Folsom by 4th Street. I did interview Dave Brocky from Gwar across the street in the porno store, and that's in the DIY or Die movie. I mean, there's no porno in the movie, but, you know, it's not erotic. It's just him standing a bunch, you know, in a porno store. But yeah, the CW Saloon, G.G. Allin played there at least three times, and I worked there and could have gotten in free and didn't. I was like, no, man, I don't want stuff flung. I don't want the G.G. Allin hitting the fan and hitting me. Yeah, but his shows were all packed out. I mean, he was extremely popular in an underground sense. And, you know, you can't sustain that kind of, like, living in condition red for the rest of your life, and it just burns you out.
Well, look what happened to Slayer.
What happened to Slayer?
I don't know. Didn't one of the guys died just recently, and then a whole bunch of people were at his funeral, and they started, like, carving into their heads and stuff?
These kids today, kids now. Although with Slayer, it probably wasn't kids; it was probably 50-year-olds.
Oh yeah, yeah. They used to be kids. I should say.
Yeah, I know some metal band showed up at the Westboro Baptist Church. Those really horrible anti-gay people who protest soldiers' funerals and say, "Thank God for dead soldiers." And you know, God hates gays and God is killing Americans overseas because of gays. They're just really twisted and messed up. But some metal band recently went and relieved themselves on their church.
Yeah. I don't know which one's worse.
I don't even know anymore with these crazy kids and their black metal music and their death clocks and their G.G. Allins. I don't know what to do. I think we need – I'm going to write my congressman right now and demand that he write – I'm going to write the bill for him. It's going to be called the Restore Decency to Rock Musical Groups in Americas.
Rock Musical Groups.
That's what my dad – when we had my dad on with Nima, he said – Nima, did you know that Michael used to be in a rock musical group?
Yeah. Well, that would actually make for some change. That's what we need to do. We need to write Congress and tell them we need them to clean up this rock music.
Yes.
It's damaging our children.
And you shouldn't be able to mention G.G. Allin on the radio. Don't even invoke his name. We dare he who cannot be named. That's what we'll call him in the bill. Because if you say his name, he appears. He's like Beetlejuice.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
At the time of his death, G.G. Allin was working on a spoken word record.
What is a spoken word record anyway?
We're doing one right now. This is one.
Okay.
If you cut this to vinyl, that'd be a spoken word record. I don't know. It's what musicians do when they run out of ideas or don't want to pay a band anymore, I think. You know, okay. I actually played with another band that was his backing band on Anti-Scene from one of the Carolinas, north or south. They were some – they call themselves libertarians, but they're I'm not going to say they're not. There are some hardcore good old boys who like drinking and screwing and tattooing and carrying guns, and they're really furry. They have big beards and long hair. And we played with them. Bomb played with them at some roadhouse in South Carolina. It was, at the end of this DVD, okay, no, on the DVD extras of Hated, which is from Music Video Distributors, MVD, who put out all of my movies also, Todd Phillips documentary about G.G. Allin. On the DVD extras, there's like a 48-minute video, no cuts. It's just one constant take, basically. It's the end of a concert, the last concert he did. He did it at a club called The Gas Station in New York in Alphabet City, Lower East Side. And The Gas Station literally was a former gas station, and that's the kind of place he liked to play. You know, in Alphabet City, where the, you know, the junkies and the prostitutes and the murder junkies all hang out. At the end of his set, he pulls out lighter fluid. You know, he doesn't set his guitar on fire because he's not playing guitar. He runs over and tries to set the sound man and the soundboard on fire. Oh, and geez. The sound man like hides in this like cage and locks this like pull down, you know, like the thing where they used to like pull down when it was a gas station, you know, like
went
to the mechanic's place. He hid in there. G.G. Allin started a fire and like ran out of the club, and like three women went with him, like, "Oh, G.G., you're take me," and followed him walking down the street. And the filmmaker followed him with his, you know, Super 8 video camera, his high 8 video camera, following him for about 40 minutes. And basically he's walking through the streets of the crappy parts of New York, and people keep recognizing him and joining him. So suddenly it's like this evil messiah walking with like 28 people crowded around him.
What?
And he's trying to get away from them. Like because the police are after him by now, because he's G.G. Allin. And he's like covered in all sorts of blood and, you know, injuries and bodily fluids. And he keeps trying to hail a taxi, and nobody will pick him up. It's daytime, and like nobody will. They pull over, they look at him, and they just keep going. They don't know he's G.G. Allin. They're just like, "No, you look like a murderer, man."
I'm imagining a very twisted version of that scene from Rocky when he's running through Philadelphia.
And all the little kids. All the kids are high-fiving him, and someone throws him an apple. Yeah. Yeah, it's more like, you know, people are throwing bottles at him, and someone hands him some bag of heroin, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that night he died in the loving arms of two ladies on heroin. He was on heroin.
Wow.
I'm not praising this guy. I do not come here to praise G.G. Allin, but just to bury him. And he certainly did not live by the non-aggression principle. But he did. He was born and raised in Lancaster, New Hampshire, which is the home of an upcoming event known as the, well, it's called Pork Fest, but let's also call it the, what's the name we got for this thing?
The Freedom Fiends First Annual Company Picnic Beef Fest and Corporate Team Building Extravaganza.
Yes. Yes. That's,
for short.
That was good, man. Wait, you got an acronym for that? What is it?
That's impossible. That's quite an acronym.
Garrett's trying to send me images on Pigeon. You know, when you send the images on Pigeon, here's some news you can use. Pigeon is encrypted if you do it right, but the images are not encrypted.
Oh, okay.
What are you trying to? And it also takes forever to download an image. And this one looks pretty big. What are you trying to send me, brother?
I'm trying to send you a picture of our kitty.
Oh, you're getting a kitty today.
Yeah, man. Right after the show, we're going to go pick her up.
Let's get off G.G. Allin and let's talk about happy things like kittens and unicorns.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Freedom Fiends, you have to have a kitten to be one of the co-hosts.
Yeah, except for Ben. Just in the nick of time.
Well, Ben Stone has a dog that's the size of a kitten, so that's okay.
Some kind of critter.
Yeah. All right, man. Oh, Nikki Darling has dogs, though, but they're really cool, and they're big and awesome, and they have Freedom Fiends buttons on their collars.
Nice.
So we'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends extravaganza and long-distance learning media show and team-building exercise when we get back. Oh, we don't like Obama. We're supposed to say that once an hour. I think that's a law. We really, yeah. we hate him. We think he's horrible.
Not a huge fan.
Not a fan.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and this is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, broadcasting from Airworm One, high atop Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is a suburb of Recluse, Wyoming. Recluse is an actual town. You can look it up. It has a population of 15, and I'm in a small suburb of Recluse in a blimp called Airworm One.
And this is the Funky Fox, orbiting high above the planet you guys call Earth in Space Worm One.
You know, I like your planet. I'm really digging it. I dig the thunderstorms here. We had them last night where we're staying here on your planet, and I really enjoy it, man.
Yeah, we had plenty of thunderstorms all over here, too.
I mean, they were just stunning. And, you know, we got hit by lightning. A tree in my backyard got hit by lightning a couple weeks ago on my birthday, on my 50th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an omen.
Yep. It's an omen that you shouldn't put copper sulfate down your drain to clear out your tree pipes because it can get into trees and make them lightning rods, I've heard. That's not what happened with us, I'm sure, but...
You have tree pipes? What's a tree pipe?
Tree pipes. It's the sewage pipe that's like 50 years old. It's made out of like rolled up tar paper and before they had PVC. And yeah, man, a tree root.
You know, I was thinking about you the other day watching Orange is the New Black. They were having plumbing issues and said something about those old tar paper pipes.
I thought about that when I saw that, too. And people should go watch Orange is the New Black. I've been eating belt-fed cheese and antelope fried crickets. That's not an ad. I'm not going to segue into a website. It's what I did. So how long do you want to stay on G.G. Allen? Because this is the all G.G. Allen all the time show.
That's unfortunate because I'm totally over it.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, we can put that guy to rest.
And talk finally. About like kittens and unicorns?
Yes, kittens are awesome. Right. I'm so excited.
I love kittens, man. So is this your first kitten?
This is my first my kitten. We had a couple of cats growing up. They were my folks' cats, but me and my sister were, you know, the ones that would play with them. But this is the first time me and my fiance are having a cat.
Aw. And you know, they say that... You should have an animal before you get married because, like, if the animal doesn't die, you're ready for marriage.
Perfect. Good to know because we haven't had much luck with our other pets.
Really?
Yeah. We had a couple of goldfish, Bubba and Gump, pets. Rest yeah. their soul.
Well, you're supposed to. It's something I've heard when you get into AA, they say don't get in a relationship for the first year. Yeah, like anyone does that, waits that long. But yeah, they say, you know, you should get a goldfish. No, you should get a plant, and if the plant doesn't die, you should get a goldfish. If the goldfish doesn't die, you should get a pet. If the pet doesn't die, you're ready for a relationship. But the problem with that is goldfish die by design. I mean, they all die. And I'll bet some wise old old AA sponsor who wasn't getting none made that up so his sponsees would all be single forever and frustrated like him.
Misery loves company.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a really good t-shirt would be I was G.G. Allen's AA sponsor. You're not laughing at that?
A motivational poster?
A motivational poster. Or a t-shirt.
I just don't know what to think of it.
You're speechless, man. All right.
I guess I hope we're not having internet issues.
A little bit. You know, it's the NSA. They wait till about this part of the show and start pressing buttons and messing with me. I blame the government. That's my answer for everything. What about you?
Yeah.
Talk about kitties, man. Tell me about your cat.
If
I think we're having internet problems.
All right. Well, we decided to go with the name Izzy.
Aww.
Do you want me to call you back?
No, man. We'll do it later. But go ahead. Tell me about Izzy.
Okay. Well, as long as you guys can hear me, we've got a little six.
Yeah, you know what? Call me back. Call me back. Call me back. Call me back.
7 weeks.
Call me back. Call me back. Call me back on the Skypes. All right, this is Michael Dean, and we're talking about kittens here today. Let's see. Read more about Gigi Allen. After his release from prison, Allen skipped parole to go on another tour, footage of which was shot for Todd Phillips' documentary, Hated, Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies. The film contained graphic scenes from a performance Allen gave at a rock club in the East Village, New York. A heavily intoxicated Allen stripped naked, did something I can't mention on the floor, wiped something on himself, and threw something in the audience. He also threw beer bottles, breaking a woman's nose, assaulted several other people in the crowd. Clips were included from other performances, as well as interviews with Allen, his bands, and their fans. The film was released in 1994 and later on DVD in 1997. Let's see if we get Garrett back. Garrett, are you there? Are you there, Garrett? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, finish talking about cats, man.
I hate how that sounds going out on the radio.
I talked about Gigi Allen. About Gigi Allen while you were gone.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So that's all out of your system now?
Yeah, sure, for now. Go ahead, man. Talk about cats.
All right, well... All right, Izzy. I was wondering what you thought of the name Izzy for our little kitty. We were trying to come up with something to call her the other day, and that was the first thing that popped in my head. The ladies seemed to like it. The ladies in my life being my mother, sister, and Annie.
Yeah, I've talked to your mother on the internet.
Yeah.
You didn't want me to.
Yeah, I know. She's your biggest fan.
I've always been...
I wasn't sure if she could handle it.
I've always been the kid that people don't want. My friends in grade school and high school always wanted... Really liked... I had a lot of friends. They wanted to hang out with me, but they didn't want their parents knowing that we should hang out. And one time I was with this friend of mine when I was like 16... Like snuck into his house because I wasn't allowed over there because I was the bad kid. And his parents came home early and he said, hide, like it was an affair or something. And there was no affair. It was just, you know. So I hid under his bed and his mother came in and sat down on the bed with him that I was sitting under. And she said, the neighbor, Mrs. Jones said that she saw you with Michael Dean today. Is that true? And he's like, yes, mother. And he's like, I don't want you hanging out with him. He has strange ideas. And he doesn't like authority. And he doesn't like his teachers. And I'm like, I'm sitting under the bed going like, the truth comes out.
Yeah, seriously. It's always interesting when you can overhear somebody talking about you.
Yeah. If it was Gigi Allen, he would have like jumped out and like stabbed her and taken her pearls and said, aha.
So you were the guy that everybody's mother warned them about.
Yeah, which was really weird because, like, I wasn't criminal. You know, I wasn't violent. I wasn't thuggish. I wasn't, I was my own. I was my own guy from a really young age, from like kindergarten.
Right. All right. I can imagine you were probably a fairly hyper guy.
You know, one of the great things in this Gigi Allen movie, speaking of Gigi Allen, in the movie Hated, the filmmaker travels to Lancaster, New Hampshire, and interviews Gigi Allen's high school music teacher in his home and plays a cassette of Gigi Allen's music for the guy. The guy's just like, oh my. Well, Gigi was all he was always a spirited fellow.
Yeah, he didn't learn that here.
Did I say Lancaster, PA? No, Lancaster, New Hampshire, the home of Porkfest and the Freedom Fiends team building exercises and corporate retreat. Beef Fest. Yeah, that's where we eat beef at Porkfest and argue with each other. And it's it is not that aspect. Porkfest is open to the public, but that aspect of Porkfest is not open to the public, and there will be armed children at the perimeter keeping people out. So don't try to crash that party.
That almost makes me want to bring my kitty.
You know, if you go on, not that Porkfest has anything to do with Burning Man, but if you go on the Burning Man website, and this has been like this for about 10 years, it has like instructions on surviving going to Burning Man, because it's like, it's on the playa in the desert and it's like, you know, 189 degrees in the shade or something. And, you know, they say how much water you have to bring or you'll die, how much sunscreen you have to bring, et cetera. And it's like, then they have a whole section on if you must bring your dog, like, you know, you have to bring this much water for your dog. You have to have sunscreen for dogs. You have to have shade for dogs. You have to, dog has to be healthy, blah, blah, blah. And then right below that, there's another section that says cats. And it just says, don't even think of bringing a cat.
Yeah, it's a bit different than dogs.
Yeah,
but we're not going to bring Kitty to Porkfest. We're dropping her off at Annie's mother's. But it's interesting you bring up Burning Man.
We're not bringing our kitties to Porkfest either. We're hiring a guy to sit in our house with a shotgun. He's actually like recovering from he'll be recovering from tooth surgery and wants a nice comfortable place. You know, he lives in a little tiny apartment, so. We're like, yeah, man, you could come. We'll get you a bunch of lime jello and mashed potatoes and hand you the shotgun and pay you to live in our house for a week.
I just got a tooth pulled on Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
So all I've been eating is instant mashed potatoes and jello.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. You sound pretty chipper on radio considering.
Well, it was a couple of days ago. I can finally like smoke a cigarette now, which is great.
I thought you were vaping and not smoking.
I kind of switch back and forth depending on things. But I'm actually really excited about one of the events at Porkfest because I'm going to be learning how to make my own juices and my own coils.
With Nikki That's, Darling.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys will be sitting around stewing in your libertarian juices.
Yeah. I can just imagine this big pot where it looks like a bunch of witches hanging out, mixing stuff together.
That's a joke. That's a line that my wife and I use a lot, stewing in your libertarian juices. It's something Boston Tea Party said about, you know, people who realize the government is horrible and everything they do is an act of aggression and like go to condition red and are just thinking about it all the time and like, and thinking violent thoughts or whatever, or just, you know, thinking it's untenable. We'll never get out of this. You know, we're doomed. That kind of stuff.
So that kind of stewing.
Yeah. Boston calls that stewing in your libertarian juices, but it's kind of become a meme around the house. Like when my wife's making some meat for dinner and she's marinating it, she said, well, and I'm like, when's dinner? And she's like, well, the meat is stewing in its libertarian juices right now.
Yeah, that sounds better. I was imagining a hot tub with a bunch of libertarians hanging out, enjoying each other's company.
Oh, they could do that too. My wife's juices are libertarian, all of them. And she's a good cook. And so wait, what were you going to say about that thing out in the desert where the hippies and the socialists go to be free? Well,
I was watching the Comedy Central roast of James Franco. And at the end, like, yeah, I know. I'm sure you've seen some of those roasts. They're all kind of like chatting amongst themselves after it's over.
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen goes, "Oh yeah, we're about to leave here and head to Burning Man." Some other guy's like, "Oh really?"
I'll bet you couldn't get away with open carrying a gun at Burning Man.
Oh, I seriously doubt it.
They call the police on you, those lefty anarchists. We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, broadcasting from a windstorm in Wyoming. You may hear wind. Do not adjust your color TV set that you're listening to the radio on. The color TV, Mark Edge. Yes, you don't shoot someone for taking your color TV. I just want him to call in and swear. We don't take calls on the show, but if Mark Edge calls in, we'll stretch the cuss dump out to like seven seconds to 7 minutes and put him on if he wants to call in. All right. So, we've been stewing in our yummy libertarian juices forever. I think we're required by law once an hour to talk about how bad the government is. I think that's a law on talk radio. I'm not sure, but if it's not a law, it's definitely a convention. So
would it be an act of civil disobedience to not mention?
Yeah, I guess Freedom Fiends are almost an act of civil disobedience, not only in the realm of conservative talk radio, you know, which surrounds us on either side before and after each show, you know, but also in the sense of like libertarian talk radio, because, you know, there's only one other libertarian talk radio show, and it's Free Talk Live. And God bless them. I love them. Thank you for your service, gentlemen, on this Flag Day. You do great work, and you know, you've brought a lot of people to liberty, but they always talk about the government on Free Talk Live. And there have been a couple Freedom Fiend shows where we didn't mention it at all, and we didn't mention the state, which is different than the government. The state is the belief, the worship of all the icons of government that all nations have. All nations indoctrinate their children at a very young age to be cannon fodder and protect the interests of rich and powerful men who don't want to work for a living. That's all war is, generally. Most war, 98% of war in history.
Speaking of steaming in your libertarian juices,
I got my gun. I'm polishing my bayonet. I'm ready. What do we got?
I just wanted to clarify something from the last segment about the back and forth between cigarettes and e-vapes. I think I figured out what the problem is. I need stronger juice.
You need stronger libertarian juice. Well, I'm polishing the bayonet on my rifle. And it's about time we restore. Okay, no, let's talk about vapes. So, yeah, I'm using 18 milligrams per 100 milliliter or per milliliter, which is about equivalent to a pack a day generally. But here's the thing: I smoked 3 packs a day when I stopped a year ago, and I started on 24 milligrams. Which is like mind-bogglingly strong. And I think there is some that's stronger, but, you know, I think it's not recommended for human consumption. It's for elephants who have a smoking problem.
Well, see, because I started on 18, so that, I think, is what makes me crave an actual cigarette still with a nice, strong nicotine.
Try 24. Try 24.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it goes down like, I mean, probably 3 or 6 or something, or you can even dilute to your own. But, yeah, I know there's 12. 12 is like for people who, you know, they smoked once in a while. But the thing was, at 24, it was giving me the nicotine rush I demanded from my former chain smoking. But I also ended up getting more addicted to nicotine because I was, like, chain vaping 24.
Sure.
And it was making me dizzy and stupid. So so I cut down to 18, and now I'm chain vaping 18, and I rather like it quite a bit.
Yeah, so maybe I just need to have two different what do they call them, tanks, so I can switch back and forth between the two levels depending on what I want.
Yeah, my wife has 20 tanks going at any given time. I have like 3, and my 3 are always all the same flavor and strength. I pretty much have found this one from Plume Room I like that's it's called Creamy Mint or something like that. That's my all-day vape. I have some other flavors that I, you know, pop in once in a while, but I always go back to this. But my wife has, like, all of hers are 12 milligrams, and she has, like, 10 different flavors in 10 different tanks or 20 different tanks, something like that, 15 tanks. And they're all color-coded. Like, she'll use a purple tank for, you know, the grape and a blue tank for the blueberry, things like that. So, yeah, she likes to vary and mix it up. Even several times an hour, whereas I'm just a one vape man.
Yeah, I just use tobacco flavor.
I don't like most tobacco flavors. I actually like this tobacco flavor that's from the Wyoming Vapor Company here in Casper. And none of these people are advertisers. Plume Room was for a little while, but None of these people are advertisers, but I will just say stuff that I like, even if I'm not getting paid to say it, because I'll only advertise stuff I like too. So, the Wyoming Vapor Company, which does do mail order sales, has a flavor called 307, which is the area code of Wyoming, of the entire state. And 307 is a really good tobacco flavor. I like it a lot. It's kind of a, it's got like a nutty undernote.
Interesting.
And you do have to steep your vapes. Once you get them, like, don't, they really, like, after a week, they're better. You just have to let them sit, let them stew in their own libertarian juices. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to torrent
Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
See, that'll be on pitch, but it won't be on beat to the radio listeners because there's about a quarter second delay sending it from what they're sending me. But it will be right on the podcast, on the internets, on the interwebs. So we are talking about the government and how dumb it is and how politicians not only don't have your best interest in mind, but basically want to rob you and kill you. Wait, were we talking about that? I think that we're required by law to say that once an hour.
Well, it tends to happen at least once an hour.
It's true. It's all true. But it's just, I don't like talking about it anymore. I'm like, there's a million shows talking about that. And most of them are like people whose podcasts I've helped set up and given them audio tips. So I've passed the torch. Other people can talk about the tyrannies. But we wanted to talk about Bitcoin because I think on Freedom Liberty Radio, Libertarian Radio, you're required to mention Bitcoin once an hour, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's the anarchy rules. Because I've seen that around, like graffiti, anarchy rules. I think one of the anarchy rules is that you have to talk about Bitcoin.
Well, I enjoy talking about Bitcoin, believe it or not. I enjoy listening to people talk about Bitcoin. I also wonder if you were able to get libertarian juices from a place known as Silk Road at one time or another.
Well, the first Silk Road, I think, was gone before there was a lot of vaping community kind of stuff going on. But the Silk Road 2.0... which I don't know. I looked at Silk Road 1.0 once. It was really hard to, it's not hard, but it's some hoops to jump through to install the Tor browser and configure it correctly and then go look at something. Now, here's what you should know. If you're using Tor, generally it protects the website owner's location. It doesn't necessarily protect like your ISP, if you're not using a VPN, it's encrypted, may know that you're going to a certain Tor address. So it's kind of a false security because a lot of people don't know that necessarily.
And that's even if you just do the searching through the Tor program and then use a magnet back through?
It's possible. Who knows? I mean, the NSA's like new motto, it came out in a Greenwald thing lately, is something like collect all the things. It's something like say collect everything or some variation on that. That's their motto. Like basically, even if it's encrypted, they want to save it. They want to save it because they think they're going to be able to unencrypt it later, or maybe they'll just beat you with a rubber hose and get your password out of you.
Ugh. I'd hate to imagine that situation. It sounds like something out of House of Cards or something.
I know. It really does, and it's really I'm wondering when it's time to get out of America. You know, they say, if you don't love it here, get out. I love it here. I just don't like all the government. And
yeah,
getting out, I never considered before. We got out of California. We moved to Wyoming and said, ah, everything will be great there. And it is a lot better in a lot of ways. It's kind of a no-nonsense place. It's, you know, it's not... It's not New Hampshire. If you chalked in the town square here, someone would probably shoot you from a distance with a deer rifle. Seriously, like they wouldn't go down there and yell at you; they'd probably just shoot you. I don't know that that's true, but I think it's a lot more likely here. I don't think there's a lot of cowboys here, and that's a good thing. And They're generally live and let live and leave me alone, but they're not all libertarians. They kind of have a libertarian spirit, but they don't put up with guff, man. A lot of them. And I have a lot of respect for a lot of them in a lot of ways. And there's also a lot of kind of cowboy libertarians here who, you know, they're not going to go like chalk. They're going to go out to the sticks and practice shooting dinner plates at 450 yards with a scoped bolt action deer rifle. You know, it's in Wyoming. It's not really about making a show and making a statement and saying, I'm here, get used to it. It's more about, living your life really quietly. And it's a state, not to collectivize it, but kind of the vibe of the state here is just live your life and leave your neighbors alone. And it wouldn't be a place that'd be really welcoming to out in the street boldness. Yeah. I don't know. Even like open carry, like if you look kind of freaky, open carry is really looked down on here. If you're an old rancher, no one notices if you're open carrying. It's kind of about look and style and just, you know, people kind of will sum you up and look you up and down and reserve judgment. But it's kind of the Wild West in some ways. It's not a hipster place.
Is there a lot of young people there? Or is there like a college town or anything?
College town, Laramie, which is, you know, the Berkeley of Wyoming. It's the hotbed of socialism. I don't go to Laramie because I don't have any reason to. But also, I don't even like driving through on the freeway because... Laramie, because it's a college town, is really into busting people for drunk driving, and I don't drink at all. But here's the thing. They've gotten permission to pull people over at random and demand breathalyzer tests, and when they refuse, they call up 5 cops, they physically hold you down, and they stick a needle in your arm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ew. That's even worse than the curfew they've initiated down here in Baltimore.
Man. Yeah. Yep. I'm not saying it's a libertarian paradise, and that's an example of why, but it's kind of you're left alone a lot more than a lot of places if you kind of keep your head down and just do whatever you want, but don't make a show of it. You know, that's kind of how Western country folks are compared to city folks, is like they don't like show-offs. They don't like... You know, they don't like people who have to like live their life in public in a way that says, look at me, I'm different. Recognize it. You know, accept it. I'm making a statement. They don't
I want off this planet. nobody bugs me up here in Space Worm 1.
Well, you know that my plan, and this is a joke, but my plan is to attract the aliens who live in the one habitable planet nearby, 4.5 light years away in the Alpha Centauri region. There is a planet that is believed to be habitable. It's got similar aspects to Earth and similar distance from its sun and possibly similar, oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen and carbon and, you know, the things that make crystal meth. No, the things that make protein. They also make basically anything in organic chemistry, which is anything that is involved in life or, you know, things that affect life, is all those four, you know, and then like a little bit of sulfur, a little bit of magnesium, whatever, iron. But yeah, there's a planet there that I believe may contain intelligent life. And radio waves from Earth do travel to space. They get, less strong as they go, but...
I might be able to help you out with that part. Up here past the atmosphere and in a steady geosynchronous orbit, I can just turn directly towards the solar system and try and broadcast it out there a little faster.
Yep. My theory is that 4.5 years after the Fiends got on radio, which was, we got on a little over a year ago, so in about three and a quarter years, it's actually going to be the hyper-intelligent, extremely advanced civilization on that planet is going to hear the Freedom Fiends and say, wow, we've been monitoring this planet's radio and television transmissions for 100 years, and this is the first intelligent life we've heard, and we like these guys, and we're going to go find the Freedom Fiends and give them our advanced technology to protect themselves from the state. And I'm not saying that the day that happens, when they make me the libertarian emperor of the world, yeah, Kokesh is running for president of America, like running for anarchy president or something. I'm like, I'm going to be libertarian president of the world, and I'm going to be given advanced powers by space aliens to protect me and all my friends and fans from the government. And I'm not saying we're going to have Nuremberg-style trials for the drug warriors at that point and the gun stealers and the tax collectors. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
Right. Well, at least we can they can help us dissolve those functions.
Yeah, or dissolve those people, did you say? No, I think what we're going to do is we're just going to teleport those people to the prison planet. And I don't mean the Alex Jones website. I mean the planet that is the prisoner planet out past Alpha Centauri.
That reminds me of another movie. I can't remember the name of it, though, so I'm not going to mention it. But
reminds me of a lot of movies.
some space station orbiting that they put all the hardened criminals on so they can't affect anybody down on Earth.
Well, I think isn't there a prison planet in one of the Star Wars? I know there's slave planets, but no, I don't want to enslave these people. I want to send them somewhere else and just let them, like, you know, play golf and fish on some other planet where they can't hurt us.
You know, they can stay here. I want to go back to the aliens planet. Check that out.
Maybe they'll turn Dick Cheney's ranch into, like, you know, a retirement home for former tyrants and kings.
Oh, yeah. They could do the same with, like, Bohemian Grove and...
Yeah, just pen them in, give them lots of area to roam free. They can make up their own laws and arrest each other because they like doing that.
You know, all those underground bunkers you guys have been working on? Go there.
Yes, and we'll remove the hyperlink to the drones so you can't hurt us. No, this, like, the technology these aliens are going to bring me, and I'm going to be the one they contact. The technology they bring me is going to be so advanced. I mean, it's going to make guns and nukes look ridiculous, like squirt guns. I mean, it's going to make, and it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to destroy them. It's just going to, it's kind of, the plasma version of, you know, in Batman, where they have something that squirts goo on the car and just traps it like a spider's web. I may be mixing up metaphors here, but, you know, you've seen that before, right?
It's just, sure.
And I think the government actually has something like that. They have area denial weapons that they can spray on roads instead of spike strips, which don't always work. They just spray goo on a road and the car they're chasing, they slow down and stop chasing and it just spins or can't move. And they have stuff that's so gooey you can't walk on it, or so slippery you can't walk on it. It's kind of like that, but it's not going to be a physical substance. It's going to be sort of a plasma goo that just kind of puts a dome around you or between you and the state. Like, your neighborhood will still look like your neighborhood, but you'll be impermeable.
Warning, keep away from your libertarian juices.
Yeah, and speaking of keeping libertarian juices away from kitties and children and other living things, you have a cat. I have to tell you, keep your vape liquid well away from the cats. It is toxic to little animals, and it's toxic to us. But, you know, only do it in one place, on a hard countertop. Wipe it down afterwards, then wipe that down with paper towels. Don't have a single drop of that stuff where the kitties can get to it. Same thing with children, little kids.
Thanks for the tip.
Your public service announcement for the day. Just the tip on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You don't just go on talk radio without criticizing the government. I think that's the rule. Is that a rule or a law? I don't know.
Well, either way, I look at it as an act of civil disobedience.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the government at all for 2 hours now. So we're going to talk about how the government stole a bunch of Bitcoin. And I'm looking at the usmarshals.gov site. Hey, when people are posting stuff on Twitter, they should say, like, warn you, like, this goes to a government link. It was one of those, like, compacted URLs on, you know, how they, like, shorten them, link shorteners that didn't have .gov in the extension, but this says .gov. You know, I was thinking there should be an alternate internet for beefing with people, and it could, the extension could be, like, .beef or .nit for nitpicking.
Maybe that could be a DAC.
Yeah, well, apparently the U.S. Marshals Service, usmarshals.gov, has a site where they sell stuff they've stolen from humans. I'm not saying they're not human. They're not subhuman. They're just humans who are misdirected. And, you know, in movies, they just show them, like, you know, transporting murderers to trial, which is, you know, that would happen in LibPair. But a lot of what they do is asset forfeiture, which is the name of this page, current asset sales. So they have 29,656.51306529 bitcoins that were seized from the Silk Road, and there's never been a trial. That guy is still waiting. He's not getting a speedy trial. He's not been convicted of anything, and there's even question as to whether or not he was the guy. Dread Pirate Roberts, Ross Ulrich. Is that Ulrich?
Yeah, I think you got it. I think you had it right the first time.
Ulrich, I don't know. But
Ulbrich,
thank you. But yeah, okay, to even bid, first of all, anyone who bids on these coins is immoral. Secondly, secondly, to bid for them, you have to put a $200,000 deposit by wire transfer. So there's no way to do this anonymously, and you have to put up a bunch of money to show you're serious. And
so, why do you say they're immoral if they bid on this? Because that was my biggest hang up on this whole thing.
They're stolen. They're straight up stolen.
It's almost like I don't want to use the term inflation, but it I feel like it taints all of these $18 million worth of bitcoins in a sense. Like whoever winds up coming out with these,
I don't know,
is taking stolen Bitcoin.
Yeah, and then they are, and then it's like, how many times do they have to be transferred before they're legitimate? I don't know. I'm not going to say that they will always, these particular bitcoins will always be evil. You know, that's kind of like saying, okay, like, let's say the government auctioned off some guns and someone bought them, and then, you know, because they made them with stolen money. But then, you know, they auctioned them off, and then they got sold to you at a gun show, and you didn't know. Are you evil? No. See, it's kind of like saying guns are evil, I guess, to say these Bitcoin will always be evil. But I think anyone who goes and buys these is evil. You know, I guess you could say, well, if some Bitcoin millionaire buys them and then gives them away to libertarians, they'd be not evil. I don't know where it ends.
Yeah, and I guess the hard part to digest is the fact that all the funds from this auction, where do they go? The Department of Justice?
More guns. No, U.S. Marshals Service, I guess, or the Department of Justice. But here's the thing. Here's the takeaway in this. I think the reason they're doing this, other than to do it, is I think they're going to try to crash the price of Bitcoin. And I think they're going to let them go really cheap. And I think it will crash. It'll drastically reduce the price of Bitcoin for about 4 days. And I think that the mainstream media will say, Bitcoin is so insolvent. These Bitcoin were stolen today by the federal government. And the price of Bitcoin went from $650 to $200. This proves Bitcoin doesn't work. What they won't do is a follow-up 7 days later when Bitcoin will be back to like 5% above what it was before this auction, proving the resiliency of Bitcoin.
And people only remember those headlines. Oh, you know, Silk Road goes down. Oh, Mt. Gox goes down. Fraud all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so square, man.
And that's all people will talk about at the water cooler is how Bitcoin's not going to make it. And I'm sitting there trying to show them otherwise. But
yeah, and the smart people will be buying them up at $250.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Worms. It's been a great show.
Give me all the Bitcoin.
All your Bitcoin are belong to us.
We're going to win this one, people. We're going to be free.
Had a lot of fun today, Michael.
I did too, man. I really did. Go to freedomfiends.com, buy buttons, do some torrenting, keep us drone-proof until the aliens get here after hearing the Freedom Fiends and save us. That's the plan, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat channel, same bat time.
Mew.
Mew.
Kitty time.
Kitty time. Kitties and unicorns and rifles. Oh, my. I'm going to go unicorn hunting. I got my permit.
Purchased with Bitcoin.
Yeah.